found this in Ganarum. Ganamir Ni.
What is it?
Well, it's
significant.
It's David. I'm here with Jesse at the Buffalo Comic Con.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's going pretty good.
What was your first experience with Star Trek?
First experience with Star Trek? The Trouble with Tribbles.
This is your first time?
Yeah.
How old were you?
10.
10?
Yeah.
So you just saw it on TV, everyone? I actually saw it in the movie theater once.
It was actually recommended to me by my parents to watch it just so I could get into Star Trek.
And then that set you off?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Actually, matter of fact, when we were at Fan Expo, and they put a Tribble in my hand, I kind of, like, cried a little on the inside because I really enjoyed it.
That's awesome. Well, thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Hi, it's David, and I'm here with Don Jackson.
That's right, Don Jackson.
I walked up, he just waved me down, and we actually sat next to each other last year at the Buffalo Comic Con, which is where we're at right now.
You got it.
And he knew we did a Star Trek podcast. He got me this beautiful drawing of, the captains.
Yes, it's the 50th anniversary, and I thought I've got to do something. You know, I gotta reach out to the Star Trek fans, have something for them at my table. I do illustration, comics, commissions, and caricatures. And so you can find me on Facebook, Donald Jackson Art Music, and you see more work there as well. And so, yeah, as soon as I saw you walking by, I thought I've got to give you one just out of respect, you know, for everything you do. You know, I thought the least I can do is just give you one of these copies.
Well, thank you so much. So, as saying Star Trek's 50th anniversary, what has Star Trek meant to you, and when did you actually start watching Star Trek?
I was a little boy when Star Trek was on. I'm not going to say how old I am, because then I'd have to kill you. No. anyway, so, you know, as a little boy, when Star Trek came on, it was insanely huge. It was a big deal in terms of, like, just... It was so different, the points of view, the narrative, the characters, the everything about it. And so as a young kid who was into comics and the rest of it, even if you're not into comics, everybody loved Star Trek. It was
should be.
Yeah, it was just, I mean, people don't realize that today our media culture is saturated with all kinds of different cool stuff. But back in, you know, whatever, the 70s, there wasn't that much, actually. There really wasn't that much, and especially of the quality that Star Trek was. So, you know, I think, you know, above and beyond all the what was cool about it is just the concepts, you know, the way it kind of stretched your mind to think beyond, you know, wow, you know, there's a world out there, and what do we know about it? And all the kind of personal relationships and the challenges that the different characters go through. You just couldn't wait for it. Every week, you just could not wait for that show to come on. And then, you know, like these days, people would talk about, oh, you know, did you see the football game last night? Well, in school, you'd be like, did you see Star Wars or Star Trek last night, you know? And it was all...
There's nothing wrong with Star Wars. No, I mean, I don't get to the people who say either or. I say both. I love them both.
That was a slip, a Freudian slip or something. So, you know, it's just a massive inspiration. I think everybody identifies with different characters, too. I always loved Spock.
True.
You know, Spock was one of my favorite characters.
Favorite.
You know, he's so cool. But just seeing the, what do you call it, like the arguments and the jokes and the friendships between those characters was just such a cool experience as a kid.
So did you get to see Star Trek Beyond?
You know, I followed a lot of it as it went. I haven't. I'm sort of out of date with what's going on now. I know the most recent movie looks phenomenal. I've seen the trailers for it, and I'm promising myself that I'm going to see it. So, because I feel like it seems like they've done a good job.
I think it's probably the best Star Trek since Star Trek VI.
Okay.
As far as that goes.
All right. Or 6.5. I'm kidding. I don't.
Like the remake.
I'm trying to nerd out. I'm trying to pretend that I know all that stuff. So, yeah.
But, yeah, and we got a new Star Trek series coming in now. It's going to be May. They pushed it back from January.
Well, where, like on TV, you're saying?
It's going to be on CBS for the first episode, okay. Then the rest of it's going to All Access.
Oh, fabulous, fabulous. Wow, well, thanks for keeping me up to date.
All right, thank you so much
for
talking to me. Thanks.
All right, buddy. Bye. Have a good day.
Ms. David here with Richard...
Richard Thrift,
because I can't remember 5 seconds into the past, because that's how I roll. So I'm here at the Buffalo Comic Con, and I just want to talk with him a little bit and just get his thoughts on Star Trek, the 50th anniversary, and when did you start watching Star Trek?
I started watching Star Trek in the 1980s, when all the films were out on TV, and as kids, just sit down and just watch them, yeah.
And did you watch the TV show Next Generation when it came on in the 80s?
I watched that in the 80s. Yes, I did. Yeah, I watched everything. Even in the 90s, we were watching Star Trek. Continued. Patrick. Yeah.
Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, Patrick Stewart. Yeah, he actually really reinvented Star Trek for me. I liked it. I liked his
take on the captain.
I liked his take on the captain and the fact that he's from Shakespeare, and he did such a great job of bringing, you know, a new sense of dignity to the captains.
Well, you know, William Shatner's a big, theater actor too.
Yeah, he was more of a drama queen. Am I allowed to say that? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sure. I mean, it's your opinion, but yeah. I mean, I'm just saying.
He is probably also going to go down in history though as the greatest captain, though, Shatner. Yeah.
But you remember Star Trek VI, right?
Yes.
You know Christopher Plummer? He played the bad guy Chang.
Yeah.
Like. I think they were doing a Shakespeare play, and William Shatner was the understudy to Christopher Plummer.
Yes.
And, like, and Christopher Plummer got sick, and everyone loved William Shatner's performance. I can't remember what play it was. I think it was Hamlet.
Yeah.
And everyone loved how William Shatner did it over Christopher Plummer, I guess because it was different, but it's just funny that they did that in the past, way before Star Trek VI.
Definitely, yeah.
So you've got a lot of a theater background, the movie stuff.
I've got a theater background, and I've got a film background, yeah.
Yeah. So what are you currently working on?
Currently working on a science fiction feature, which involves aliens and abductions and a bit of a Mulder and Scully moment, really.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And any way people can find you on social media?
They can preview it by looking on my YouTube channel, actually, which is Welsh Dragon Films. And you can go there and you can see the Taken short film. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Richard.
Thank you so much, too. Thank you.
It's David again. We're at Buffalo Comic Con. I just ran into Jeffrey. He was on our Balance of Terror episode.
And we met here almost a year ago.
They moved it up this
moved
year.
Moved it up.
Don't know why.
We're in t-shirts. Last year we were here in jackets, all cold.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
And, you know, it's raining out, so if anyone was, like, wearing a lot of body paint today, they probably didn't make it into the building.
Yeah, or if they did, they looked like something they probably didn't mean to. But that's okay. That's okay. All good here at Comic-Con in Buffalo. This is awesome. Awesome stuff. I just got here.
Yes, indeed. So, we talked last time, but we didn't really talk about how you got into Star Trek. So this is the 50th anniversary. I'm wandering around the Comic-Con. What got you into Star Trek? When did you start?
I was like 8 years old, and my dad had on The Wrath of Khan in the living room. And I remember coming out, and it was a scary scene.
Eel was crawling out of the guy's ear.
It was really scary. And I was like, Dad, what is this? And he's like, oh, it's Star Trek. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then I realized that The Next Generation was on the air at the time as, you know, new episodes.
Sure. Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I think they're somehow connected. I'm not really sure how. Like, visually very different when you're a kid, right?
Sure,
the original series and then TNG. So started watching TNG. I think the very first episode I ever saw live was The Drumhead. And I'll never forget it. Very serious episode.
That's a great episode.
And I was like, you know, 10. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. And then
the guy's
started
like
watching
Romulan, and all of a sudden it's
a
crime.
Yeah, Simon Tarsis, right. So I'm just sitting there like, wow, this is an amazing show. And then that was it. I started collecting the comics and like
cards. That's a good
cards.
One to watch. I mean, like, you said you're 8?
I was really young, yeah, a little kid.
Wow. Like, that's, I mean, like, I mean, it's a great episode. Like, as an adult, that's, like, super serious and super interesting.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's just crazy that it captured you at 8.
Absolutely.
With how serious that episode was.
Well, and you know what I liked about it, too, is that the crew in that episode, the main cast, I mean, they have very pointed views. And I remember thinking, yeah, so Dr. Crusher is protecting her guy in sickbay, and Worf was all about, like, uncovering, like, you know, enemies, and Picard is doing his best to sort of maintain. And as a kid, I remember thinking, this is the kind of crew that I'd want to be around. Like, these are my people.
These
like, this makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was it. And then after that, I just fell in love with it and watched it every week and new episodes. And it was just, it was a great time to be a fan. It was 21st anniversary, or 25th, 25th anniversary at that
25
time.
25 years ago.
And now here we are, 25 years later, and, you know, sitting here talking about it. It's good.
It's very good. So, were you disappointed whenever the news for Star Trek Discovery
delayed,
pushed back to,
no,
to May?
Not at all. You know, I read a line. I think it said, "We were surprised but not shocked." I was exactly that.
I was not shocked,
not
either.
At all.
It just was like, well, we've got no news and no leaks.
You know, and really, if a delay means doing it right, and it sounds like they really wanted to delay, the producers, you know, I'm all for it. You know, I'm in no hurry. We've waited this long. Let's see what they can do.
Sure. And, you know, I mean, Brian Fuller is extremely busy. He's working on American Gods at the same time.
Yes.
So I'm just like, wow, it just seems like he's got so much on his plate.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, it makes sense. And maybe, you know, casting, maybe they were waiting for a particular actor or actress to become available.
Freed up, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
I'm all about it.
Brian Fuller's definitely had his say, like, oh, I would like this person, but, you know.
You know, you said Angela Bassett.
That's what he was saying.
It made me think about maybe they're waiting for her or something. But, you know, yeah, I don't blame. You know, not upset at all. Do it right. I'm good. I'm good with it.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't upset. I was more just disappointed because I was like, it's like only a couple months away.
Full steam ahead.
Now it's like almost a year away now.
But you know, we were getting so close, and without hearing anything, I was getting a little nervous. So I was kind of like,
"That's how I was."
So when it got pushed, I was like, "You know what?
That's totally expected.
It's okay
at this point."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, thank you for stopping and talking with me.
Oh, my God. Anytime. Love it. This is awesome. This
and
is why I come here.
We still got to have you back to talk about the Starships or something.
Yes. Starship episode or any other episode you want to chat about, happy to do it.
All
it was
right.
Awesome. Great time.
Thank you.
Nice seeing you, David.
Clearly. There's nothing impressive going on anywhere around here.
No. My lady.
All right.
Agrees with that firmly.
Yet again from Buffalo Comic Con. I am sitting here with three awesome guys from
Artful Gremlins Productions. We're the hosts of Couldn't Be Models podcast.
Yes.
Hey.
I just did a game with them. What was it called?
Billionaire Banshees.
Billionaire Banshees. So I did Billionaire Banshees, and we all said we would date. Actually, I think we're all leaning toward Bang.
Nice.
Leaning? Nice. I think we're there.
Especially, once the tears...
I don't think we were actually going to date her.
Once the tears start flowing, it's all gangbang time.
Yo, shout out to Razzlo, the creator of Billionaire Banshees. He's
Razzlo,
a fucking awesome guy.
Razzlo, yeah.
It's a card game where you get a perk and a quirk.
Yes.
Yep.
And they're fantastical. The person that I did was basically... I didn't do her, but I mean the things I picked was someone who's immortal, who just didn't age and also cast an aura that didn't age me, but she just cried all the time. And I was like, eh.
I respect your journey. Hashtag respect my journey.
Yeah.
I love it.
So this year's we're at the Buffalo Comic Con. It's the 50th anniversary of Star Trek this year. So introduce yourselves and where did you first start watching Star Trek and what does Star Trek mean to you guys?
All right, I'm Robbie, again from Artful Gremlins Productions. I started watching Star Trek, The Next Generation, actually. It was a show that I watched with my dad when I was a little kid, so I've got a lot of fond, nostalgic memories.
Yep.
And my number one captain is always going to be Picard for that reason. Ken?
I love Picard, but... Okay, so my name is Hobart. I'm also from Couldn't Be Models. And I go back to the Shatner days. I first saw it. It was a morning show on weekends. I watched it all the time, and it was one of those, like, repeating that, Babylon 5, all those shows. And it was just always on in my house, continuously. And at first I was like, why the fuck is this on all the time? And then after a while I was just like, is it really Trouble with Tribbles again? Fuck yeah. I'm totally going to sit and watch this. Absolutely. And through the years, I just went through every evolution as it comes, minus the newest movie, because I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, it was so good. Beyond was fantastic. What about you, sir?
I'm Dickie, also from Couldn't Be Models. And I, like Rob, I watched Next Generation when I was a kid growing up, and again, yeah, a lot of nostalgia. I do agree, Jean-Luc Picard was the shit.
Yes.
Fucking,
yes,
I definitely dig Worf, even though he had all that weird shit all over, yes, his face.
You know, but, yeah. I mean, like when Sisko shaved his head and grew the goatee, he became kind of badass.
Without question, unquestionably.
You know what did make me uncomfortable about Picard, though? The flute playing. That's all.
Is
I'm saying.
Is too phallic for you, or?
I don't, he was just so
nothing,
fucking...
Nothing is too phallic for Hobart.
Yeah.
Like that monkey ring you're trying to...
Someone is going to want this monkey ring. I'm telling you.
And the only reason you would know about this monkey ring is if you listened to their podcast that we just...
couldn't be models. Feel free to
couldn't
find
be
us
models,
on
baby.
Facebook,
oh, yes.
So what is... I'm guessing you lean toward a comedy-ish type podcast. What is,
yes,
your...
Yeah.
Yeah, we're actually a pop culture variety show, sort of, but we're more comedy than anything else.
All right,
yeah.
Realistically, the concept of what we do is all of us are, you know, 30-year-old man boys, all right? We're really what happens when you're 13 going on 30. So we look at the world through a 90s kid's lens. You know what I mean? We still yearn for the days of Rocko's Modern Life and Are You Afraid of the Dark?
I loved, you know, Rocko's Modern Life.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? So we look at the world through that lens. When people are walking around, you know, the hipsters with their ironic suspenders and complicated coffee drinks, we sit there and we go, why?
Is that a Vente?
You know they got a Trenta.
I want a large! Calling it Vente does not make me irrationally angry whatsoever. God! Make your dreams come true!
What's the largest one you have?
You know, that's how I ordered.
I don't care.
Just
give me big.
Give me the biggest one. That's how
is
I
that
do
a
it.
Grande?
One day I will have a stroke in Starbucks because of these people. But that's basically what our show is. We look at the world through that
having
lens.
Having strokes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, there's,
yes,
enough strokes for everyone. I'm going to tell you right now.
Oh, we did
Monkey
a two-part series on dick pics, okay?
Absolutely, yeah, and it was a big hit.
A 25-part series?
Two-part. not 25, dude.
It easily could have been 25.
It could have, yeah, with the amount of interviews that we got, yes.
I think the longest one we did was a four-part on Klingons.
Okay, I've got to listen to that without a question.
And for whatever reason, the second part was the most listened to, so I don't know.
What the hell happened to three and four?
Was it Worf? Was it Worf a history?
There was a war.
No, we started with the Enterprise and just went through all the series and kind of was like Klingon started off dumb, and then they got super intelligent and kind of cunning in TOS, and they got dumb again in Next Generation in the movie.
It's true. It's true.
You got the money shot in the second episode. Everybody was like, ah, they're going to get dumb again.
Fucking, oh, no. Yeah, they got dumb, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was, dude. You blew it too quick. I get it.
I totally understand. But we were trying to go in chronological order. So I mean,
that makes perfect sense, though. Yeah.
It makes sense, but I see where you're getting there.
Yeah, excellent. Well, it's awesome. They need another local podcast.
Hell yeah.
I had a table here last year. My co-host and I just didn't get one this year. I don't even know if he's going to be able to be making it to the con this year. Sorry, Aaron.
We miss you.
Sorry,
Aaron.
We miss you.
You should come out.
You should get this monkey
right
ring.
Now. You'll be carrying this in the future.
We, yeah, got a monkey ring with your
flesh
name on it,
tone.
Aaron.
It's flesh
monkey ring.
It's a monkey ring. The
flesh
light
tone.
Doesn't work
could
anymore.
Could be a cock ring. We've determined earlier.
Loving it.
And instead of a monkey ring, I was asking if they had a cock ring, you know, one with a, you know,
yeah,
chicken on it.
You keep your pants on.
No! Oh, wait, yes, please.
Wait, check his tonsils.
I make no promises.
I had my tonsils removed for a reason.
He's the only sword swallower at the Comic-Con. No.
That's not a sword.
The sword's
That's
a flesh
not
tone,
a sword.
Too.
That's
a meaty sword.
Where'd Deadpool go? I just saw
Deadpool. I don't know.
Oh, dude, cool. Deadpool's wielding a lightsaber right now, so that is two IP that is not supposed to cross over.
Oh,
no, that's
oh,
not Deadpool,
wait,
that's Flash.
Wait.
Oh, my bad.
No, the greatest thing that I saw today over where those Star Wars guys are, there was a Robin Hood guy. And he was holding
what?
The lightsaber. Robin Hood holding the lightsaber. And a Deadpool walked over with his mask up.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, what's Robin Hood doing with a lightsaber? And Robin Hood was like, how come your face isn't all messed up? Robin Hood burned.
Nice.
Oh, shit. You gotta feel real shitty. I'm gonna tell you right now.
We need to back this up, though. Robin Hood with a lightsaber, why has this not been made a thing yet? At least in some sort of animation,
oh, yeah,
sense. Why,
dude,
is that not a thing?
Lightsaber copyright. Right,
yeah.
We're gonna have to
rule,
call it something
the rule
else.
34. What was it? Was that it?
Rule 34.
Rule 34.
If you can think it, there's a porn.
There's probably a porn of that.
Yeah, I think we've said to avoid Rule 34 on a couple things. So I think someone said something about a Riker
someone was saying, trying to say Worf Troy, but someone said Worf Riker.
Nice.
I'm sure there's...
Dude, I'm going to tell you right now, it's probably up.
Oh, it exists.
Actually, after that episode I recorded, I actually did try to find it, and I couldn't find... I found lots of horrible, very horrible things.
You know what the rule of 65 is, don't you? No. If you can't find it, you got to create it.
You're obligated to create
it. You're obligated to create it, bro.
Uh-huh.
If you looked for it and you didn't find it, that means it's your turn, dude.
You got to find your sexy Riker, bro.
Get the costumes out.
I like drawing chicks. I'm not so much...
That's how it starts, man.
Yeah, if you want to hear more about Rule 34, you've got to check out Couldn't Be Models and find out why I can no longer look at Lexi Bell the same way again.
Oh, yes.
Lexi Bell, porn star. Can't look at her the same way again.
And let me tell you right now, Rule 65 has ruined my life many a time. Now that you know it exists.
It's when your mom's like, oh my God, what are you doing?
Really, she's very supportive.
I was going to vacuum today.
My mom's super happy with my Rule 65 stuff.
Joyce!
My mom helps.
I'm telling you right now. My Rule 65 stuff has more hits than everybody. That's got the most hits. I'm just pushing for downloads.
All right, so, yeah, this has been David from Synthaholics with Can't Be Models?
Couldn't Be Models.
Couldn't Be Models. Neither could I.
You're good, man.
Same.
Hi, I'm here with...
Michelle Cromwell from Cromwell's Curiosity Shop.
Hey, we're at the Buffalo Comic Con, and you said I was actually recording on another podcast, and the table right next to me, she said she was a big Star Trek fan. She showed me her tattoo.
Yay!
She's got a badge right where it should be.
Yes, I do. I actually got it after, gosh, what are we supposed to call the new movie? Second Gen?
It's
Reboot?
It's
Star Trek Reboot?
The Kelvin Timeline is the official name for it.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
So, okay. When did you first start watching Star Trek?
Probably around when I was, oh my God, that will age me. Probably, let's just say, the early 80s, late 70s.
So you were watching the original series reruns?
Yes.
Great.
Yeah, definitely.
And then were you excited when Next Gen was announced and when it came on?
When Next Gen was announced, you know, I think I missed the first couple episodes. I don't remember when I actually started watching. It was within, like, the first 5 episodes of the first season, though.
Yeah,
so...
First season's kind of rough looking back at it.
Yeah, and I really don't know how I missed some of the costumes in the pilot, because I must have missed it.
Oh, man, it's rough. I really love... Farpoint's a really rough episode, but the best part about it's Q.
Yeah.
And Q wasn't even supposed to be in there, did you know?
Seriously?
Gene Roddenberry wanted it to be an hour episode, and then Rourke's like, no, it's got to be 2. It's got to be a 2-hour thing.
Okay.
So, Gene Roddenberry wrote in this Q character, and to me, it's the best part of the entire episode.
You know what? The Q novels are pretty much the only Star Trek novels that I have ever written. Like, Q Squared is one of the best books I have ever read. I'm all like, it's a crossover with Winnie the Pooh. What is there not to love about that particular book?
I've not read those. I've only read a couple books. I read Before Dishonor, which has 7 of 9, Spock, and the Planet Killer.
Yeah.
Which was cool. And then they've got the Destiny trilogy, which is basically it talks about the rise and fall of the Borg, basically how the Borg came to be.
Oh, my gosh, that's so cool.
And how they destroy the Borg. And it involves characters from Enterprise, mostly the in XO2, the Columbia,
mm-hmm.
and Captain Hernandez and them. Mm-hmm. It's got Riker and Troy on the... I'm blanking. I'm having a dumb... on their ship, since they leave after, you know, Nemesis, and then mm-hmm. Picard's on the Enterprise, of course, and it has all these different storylines, and they all kind of converge with, like, explaining how the Borg was made, and then
that's really
how they
cool.
defeat the Borg, yeah.
Gosh, you know, I kind of always had this dream that if Enterprise kept going, it would talk about how Phlox actually started the Borg by introducing things into species that he shouldn't. I was just hoping for it, and it never happened.
That's an interesting theory.
I love Phlox. I really do. I'm so very sad.
I love Phlox, too. I mean, he's a great actor. I love his
I know. I pretty much started watching everything that he's in now.
Oh, yeah, he was in True Blood a couple of seasons.
Yeah, that was kind of... disturbing.
It was
yeah, the last time you saw him, he's like cuddling intestines, and I'm all like, Mike, it's time for you to go.
No way. I don't want any more. Awesome. Want to plug your shop again, and where can we find you online?
Yes, we are at Cromwell's Curiosity Shop. You can find us at www.cromwell.biz, but more likely you will find us on Etsy.
Oh, awesome. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for talking
to
me.
No problem.
Really nice meeting you.
All right, see you tomorrow.
Thanks. Hi, I'm sitting here with John and Chris. We're still at Buffalo Comic Con. I met you guys last year, and you guys actually like recognized me as I was walking by, and y'all waved to me. I was like, "Hey, cool!" So because it's the 50th anniversary, and the 50th anniversary literally just passed, like a week or so ago.
Yeah.
What are your guys' first, foray into Star Trek, and what does it mean to you?
Definitely, I'd have to say my first experiences are through my mom, who is a loyal Star Trek fan. She grew up on it, so obviously I had to grow up on it the same way.
Yeah, I remember he has a ton of books at his house, and his mom would just give them out, and we'd love to read them. And that was the first experience,
yeah, that's
right?
That's how we kind of got in it, is just the parents being so involved in it because of their childhood and because it was on during their childhood that they kind of just pass it on, I feel.
Yeah, that's how it was with me. My dad watched Star Trek when I was a kid, so I don't ever remember not knowing what Star Trek was. But what do you guys remember as being probably maybe the first episode you really remember, or first movie you really remember?
I remember the episode that I remember the most notably is the interracial one where they kiss for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is the first real standing out in my mind because my mom talked to me about how it was such a big moment for the series and for kind of the world at that moment because it was the first interracial kiss on TV. So I think that for me, that's my episode that really sticks out in my mind as me being as a kid, wow, this is so cool that they are starting something like this for the first time.
The first thing that ever happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I always remember. What about you?
I distinctly remember going to Blockbuster when that was still an entity and renting Wrath of Khan. And that was just...
Well, that's a good place to start.
Yeah.
That is a very, very good film. Probably my second favorite of the films because I'm a really big fan of Star Trek VI.
Yeah. I mean...
Do you like the new ones at all?
The new ones are good. I think Star Trek Beyond was fantastic.
Same.
I think it's the best Star Trek movie since Star Trek
VI. Really? Okay.
Since Star Trek VI. So, in a long time.
Oh, Abrams did a really good job. I think J.J. Abrams did a really good job.
Well, Justin Lin and Simon Pegg were the guys who... Beyond.
I wish he didn't transfer over to Star Wars. I wish he would just stay with Star Trek.
Yeah. Yeah,
me
too.
Even though I liked the second one, like you said, it was one of my favorites. So I had no problem with the new writers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
have to say, man, since it's the 50th anniversary, it's a real shame that Leonard Nimoy couldn't be with us to celebrate it, unfortunately.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, and Anton Yelchin.
Yeah.
I mean, I like how they kind of play tribute to them a little bit in Star Trek Beyond.
Yeah. It was interesting to see how they would kind of, deal with that after he died,
Yeah, I hope they don't kill Chekhov in universe.
See, that's what I'm thinking. I hope they don't kill him because I really don't want them to.
Funny thing is, there was a woman I spoke with last year at Buffalo Comic Con.
Okay.
And she had an issue with Into Darkness, and she was like, they should have put Chekhov into the chamber and killed him.
Sure.
And then, And then instead of Kirk, that way Kirk could have been impacted. Instead of Kirk dying and coming back and not learning a lesson. If Chekhov died, maybe he'd learn a lesson and be like, oh,
Yeah, I like that idea.
She had a great idea, and I don't know if she's here this year. I don't know if I see her booth, but I wanted to be like, I kind of wanted to say, hey, you feel bad?
Did you curse him?
Did you kill Anton Yelchin? Did you turn off
personally?
No, and if you're listening, I can't remember your name, but I just really wanted to say, I just talked to you, did you jinx? But,
that's what we're all asking you now.
Joking. Just jokingly. I don't think you actually did, but I did want to see you today, and I don't know if you're actually here.
So come tomorrow, if this gets uploaded in time.
No, it won't.
No, oh, poo.
All right, anything else, big in Star Trek that Has it done anything in your life that has an impact?
Oh, I would say I wish more people would watch Star Trek just because of the values it gives people, like friendship and kindness and sticking up for what's right and sticking up for others. I would say it has brought me closer to the people that I'm friends with and I love because of just the values it gives kids as they're watching it.
Sure,
and
yeah.
I would say it's probably one of the best shows for that, like for not super violent, like not even like...
It's adventure. It's all about the adventure.
I would definitely say it's more of like a good time than anything.
Yeah, and it's definitely morality tales, like you were saying. Like, you know, people always complain, oh, Star Trek, Star Wars, that's the same thing.
Hell to the not.
Star Wars is great. I love Star Wars. I don't think it should be or Star Trek or Star Wars. I think it should be Star Trek and Star Wars.
I think, yes, exactly.
Star Wars
is totally different.
It's the adventure's tale, where it's like your Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Star Trek is almost like your Aesop's fables, like your morality
tales.
And that's what it is.
And I feel like it's a lot more cooler because of how in-depth they go with things.
Because
like
they actually kind of back things up
with
science.
Yes, they care. Yeah. Oh, now I'm like just so happy now that we're talking about this.
That's awesome. I'm glad it brings up good thoughts and feelings with you guys.
Definitely.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
Thank you for being here every year, boss. No, thank you for being here every year and continue to do what you do.
Seriously,
we need more people like you.
Honestly.
I really
appreciate it, guys.
Art is dying these days, and we need more people like you to keep it going.
Thank you. Well, great meeting you too again.
John, thanks. By the way, pleasure to meet you.
And Chris.
As always.
Yes. Pleasure.
Thank you. David at Buffalo Comic Con with Sam.
Hi. Hello.
19.
I'm 19 years old.
Congratulations.
And I'm a Trekkie.
That's fantastic. I'm 32, and I'm a Trekkie. So, this year's the 50th anniversary. Where did you first start watching Star Trek, and what made you fall in love with it?
I first started watching Trek. We started off with the Next Generation movies. We got them for free on VHS.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, I was like, wow, that's really cool. And this shiny bald man seems awful funny. And I started watching the show with my mom, Next Generation.
I'm surprised you went to the show after that. Next Gen movies weren't the greatest.
They weren't the greatest, but, you know, that was enough to spark an interest. And I recently watched the whole run of Next Generation, much to my boyfriend's chagrin. He's not a huge Trekkie, but he just keeps making jokes about how Captain Picard looks kind of gay in his singlet. I was like, well, joke's on you. He is kind of gay in his singlet. But...
Well, in the future, Gene Roddenberry was like, well, everything's going to be straightened. And, you know, it eventually became a two thing because the spandex thing was hurting his back. And then, season 4 or 5, he gets his awesome captain jacket.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I was like,
he's like zipped down. He's got a gray shirt underneath.
Yeah, he looks kind of, I was surprised. I was like, man, Captain Picard looks kind of badass.
It's leather looking, too.
But I really just like... And I'm going to say it's something I felt was missing in the most recent movies a little bit was, like, Star Trek gets, like, so emotional and like, sometimes a little too meta, but, like, it's really just, like... It's really just about people and emotions and even... And with awesome, awesome space travel.
Yeah.
And... It just seems, like, so big and open and infinite, and, like, anything could happen, and every... And, like...
Okay.
It feels like the best of human potential.
It is. It's one of the few science fiction, or any fiction, that depicts us becoming better than we are.
Yeah.
And it's an optimistic view of the future, whereas most things is, you know, post-apocalyptic and just everything falling apart. And things just getting worse in general.
Yeah. And, you know, it does acknowledge that there was, like, a dark period of our history before we became this, but it's like, you know, it has always felt like, you know, things, this is the future. Things are getting better. We as a people are going to get better.
We got one more diamond.
And you don't necessarily have to wear a singlet.
You don't.
Dude, I'm like, I'm just waiting for Starfleet to become a thing.
That would be so awesome.
So I can get out of here.
Go to space. There's an awesome website. I'm not sure if it's still up. It was called buildtheenterprise.org, where the guy had it laid out how you could actually build an actual Enterprise. Not with, like, warp drive or anything, but just as a proof of concept so that it could basically be a space station slash mining vessel that they could, like, use to harvest, you know, the asteroid belt. Because, I mean, there's so many raw materials in the asteroid belt that we can use to make other ships. And they're having a shuttlecraft come out of it so they can land on Mars and come back up from Mars. And using ion engine technology to get to the moon in, like, 3 days and to Mars in, like, 3 months. Greatly accelerate space travel, considering it takes, like, a year to get to Mars at this point. But it's a really cool website. You should check it out.
I will. What is it?
I think it's buildtheenterprise.org. I'm not sure if it's still up. I haven't looked at it in a while.
I'll find it.
But it was a really cool site. So, like, what has Star Trek meant to you? You know, when did you start? I guess, when did you start, and what has it meant to you since you started?
I don't know. It's always, even if it's not, like, the thing I'm always watching, it's always been my favorite thing.
That's awesome.
And it, like, always, like, since I was a little kid, it's like, oh, like, no matter what I'm into at the time, it's like, I can always go back to Star Trek because it's my favorite.
That's awesome. What's your favorite? You have a favorite episode or movie?
I don't know. I really... No, I don't. I like it.
It's all great.
I really do. No, it's all fantastic. I really liked the last season of... Deep Space Nine, I think. I really loved the last season of Deep Space Nine, especially.
I love the last couple seasons because it's a really strong arc and they have that cohesive story they're telling. I wish it would have gone on another season because the last episode was like a cliffhanger almost.
What was his name? Melty.
Sisko just disappears.
Not a weird way. Tell me about your outfit. But yeah, like, yeah, you can always go back to Star Trek. It's like a warm blanket.
It is. That's why we do a podcast on it. It's such a great, great thing, and it's easy to go back to. And there's so much to it. There's always more you can dig into. Even if we talk about the same episode, if we get new people on, it can always bring a different conversation.
And, you know, much like the show, everyone has a different perspective and opinion because of where they come from.
Exactly.
And that's why I'm a nerd. It's been delightful talking to you.
Why we all honored. Thank you. Thank you so much for talking to me, Sam.
No problem. Thank you.
And for all the information, 50 years of Star Trek Comics in Room 101D. And at the top of the hour, we have the Renegade Ruler Girls doing a demonstration along with Q&A.
Star Trek Renegades?
And as always,
I'm
good representation of some Star Trek stuff here.
Sure.
Today. It's pretty nice.
Actually, let me get your names again because
sure.
I was recording to the things, which wasn't picking up anything.
Gotcha.
So David with
Steve DeMart
and Claire DeMart.
So I do a Star Trek podcast. I mentioned that to you guys. Where did you both first start watching Star Trek, and what does it mean to you now that it's the 50th anniversary?
Sure. I started watching Star Trek when I was very little. My brother got me into it, and started watching Next Generation first. That was kind of what I grew up with. Mm-hmm. Love the storylines and the characters and the chemistry that they all have together. And then from that, I started branching out into Voyager and some of the other movies. I started diving into those. So
Deep Space Nine?
Yeah. I'm just starting to get into Deep Space Nine. Now I haven't watched it all the way through. I'm trying to make that like my goal to watch it from start to
finish. How far are you into it?
Not very far, only a couple episodes.
Well, email me if you're having a hard time watching it. I have a list of episodes to skip or just episodes to watch for the first two seasons if you're having a hard time, because Deep Space Nine is by far my favorite series, personally. But I will admit it's probably the hardest first two seasons to get through because it's got some really, really oddball ones. But they become less offensive once you've seen the entire thing, and you can go back and rewatch all the episodes, then it just fits better somehow.
Very cool, yeah. And I've heard that. Like, my brother, when he watched it all the way through, he said the same thing, that it's really difficult to just get into those first few seasons, but then once you're past it.
They get a starship so they can get off to the space station. Season 4, through the rest of the series, they get Worf.
Nice.
So, I mean, If you miss Michael Dorn.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Well, and they've got Chief O'Brien, too, that works.
I love Chief O'Brien, and, like, there's some crazy episodes with him. He's basically Chekhov of Deep Space Nine.
Right.
He gets the short end of the stick a ton, and they're all almost really good episodes where he gets the short end of the stick.
Nice.
So you were saying you got into Star Trek because of your husband.
Mostly because of my husband. My father was deep into the original series when I was really young, but when I started dating my husband, he got me a lot into The Next Generation, which is the first time I'd ever, like, experienced it. Like, I'd seen Patrick Stewart in other things, and, you know, a lot of the cast in other things. I mean, come on, Geordi LaForge and Reading Rainbow.
Rainbow.
It's, you can't go wrong. wrong. You can't go wrong. But no, my husband, he didn't exactly like sit me down, but like he wouldn't stop watching it. I was like, fine, I'll sit down and watch it with you. And it just like, it stuck. Stuck. It, absolutely. It was great. So like, I think, especially like, being newer to the series, like with the new movies that's been, that have been coming out, it's been a lot easier for me to get into them than for him, because he was diehard growing up. So I had to like actually like force him into two of those movies.
Did you like Beyond?
He loved it.
Loved it. I think that I was actually just talking to Claire about this morning. It's just, I feel like Beyond is everything that I was waiting for the reboot series.
I think it really could have been the first movie.
It could have.
There's almost no setup. It would have worked at five as a first film.
I like what they did. They really did a good job of unifying it with the entire franchise, and the characters were well developed. The plot line was great. It wasn't just blowing things up and lens flares. Like, it was, there was substance there, and it felt like Star Trek.
And Chekhov got lines, he got to do things, and even when he wasn't, he was checking out Sophia Bleth's behind.
Right. Also, this was cool, too. The sound effects in the movie, they used more of the original sound effects, but they also squeezed in some next-generation sound effects.
Oh, I didn't even, like, really
and some,
pay attention
yeah,
to that.
It was awesome. Really cool.
He notices every time. He notices. But it's really funny, because, like, I understand, like, why... Like why my husband isn't like, and like why other people don't like the first two movies. But I also understand like where, like why they had to have them, because it has to, you have to set up the background. Like,
I think for the new people coming in, but for a long term Star Trek fan, like really the third one could have been the first one easy.
Absolutely, absolutely. I don't disagree with that. It's just like for people, like if they have to like draw in somebody, like if they're gonna get viewers, so it makes sense to have it. But it also makes sense to like kind of set up a backstory, if you will. So
what do you guys think of this statement? I personally think Star Trek Beyond is probably the best Star Trek movie since Star Trek VI.
Oh, man.
Interesting. I mean, you mean from Undiscovered Country?
Yes. Undiscovered Country.
I do enjoy the Next Generation movies a lot.
I think the
feel that I got from those movies and the continuation of the story with the Next Generation crew was what I was almost grieving the loss of in the reboot series. So, and because of,
I was grieving the loss of it during, because Insurrection and Nemesis are just, oh my god. After the beautiful, amazing picture that First Contact was.
Yeah.
It's just like they hit this high bar and then it just was plummeted.
I think if they had just gone from First Contact straight into Nemesis and just like left it there and just skipped Insurrection.
I think it had a different fourth movie maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think it would have been a much better place to end on. I don't think,
I mean, it was like a really bad, like Insurrection was a really bad version of Who Watches the Watchers plus the one where they exported the Indians.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
It was just like, hey, let's combine two episodes that are pretty good and make a horrible movie.
Like, and also if you're going to end on like a cliffhanger, like let's get rid of Data. Why not just keep going? Like, you gotta have
and
another
series. That's
another
it, too.
Movie.
I feel like they could have done at least another film with the Next Generation crew after Nemesis.
I think they really should have, so they could have a proper send off. I just think the studio wouldn't support it because it just did so poorly.
Yeah.
But Nemesis also had the unfortunate side effect of being released about the same time as Return of the King.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Like,
yeah,
they were basically
true.
Out in the theaters the same time. My father argues with me vehemently that, you know, it has nothing to do with its sales. But I'm like, well, Star Trek, hardcore fans will see a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
But Lord of the Rings, everyone was seeing it.
Oh, absolutely.
Times.
Yeah.
Not just once, but they were seeing it multiple. Lord of the Rings was a phenomenon.
Right.
So, like, there's no way you can compete with it.
Hello, everyone. Just a quick reminder.
Yay, EPA. I wonder if they're talking about Pokemon this time.
Saying hello and getting to know everybody and welcome. So thank you. Please stop by.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thank
nice
you.
To meet you.
Nice to meet you.
So I'm here with...
My name's Dan.
Hi, Dan. How's it going?
I'm doing good.
My second and third Star Trek uniforms I've seen today. So
fantastic.
It's awesome.
Wearing the classic tunic, though, the wraparound green.
The wraparound green? Yeah. You're getting a phaser and a... Oh, you got a communicator, too.
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome. So, when did you first start watching Star Trek?
Well, I'm 48, so Star Trek for me was when I was 10 years old, getting home from school, catching it on reruns on Channel 29. I'd be catching it almost every day after school, so I grew up on Kirk and Spock. They were, like, childhood heroes. I had the little... action figures that had the one rubber band that held them all together, so ones that breaked all their arms and legs would come. They had actual cloth clothes on them and stuff
oh,
like
awesome.
That. So, yeah, it's been a lifelong thing for me, you know. And then in the 90s, I rebelled a little against the Next Generation at first, but of course everybody grew to love it.
Yeah.
So at first,
it just seems like every time there's a new show, all the old fans are like, no. And then it's like years later, it's like, yeah, it's pretty good.
Although I don't know if I'm really excited about what's going on now with the pay-per-view idea. I like that they're trying to reboot it again, but I don't know if I'm going to...
Not crazy about it being on pay-per-view?
I don't know if I'm going to do a subscription just for that, you know?
You'll tune in on the first episode, right?
Well, no, you'll have to pay for that. So.
No, the first episode will be on CBS.
Oh, well, that.
I think.
Well, maybe if enough people tune in, then it'll stay on CBS.
No,
so.
I think that's how they're going to sell it. It's like, oh, to finish watching it, you've got to get all access. But I mean, like, it better be a smash hit episode, you know,
yeah,
to make you want to, you know, go on. So
yeah, I mean, it's Star Trek. It should have been on TV, I feel, but
yeah,
what are you gonna do?
But I mean, you know, Voyager launched UPN, and they're trying to use Discovery to launch All Access. So They're using Star Trek as like a means to an end, and that's what they've kind of always done.
Yeah, but the original Star Trek, like I said, I'm just at that age where I just literally grew up on it. Kirk was literally my childhood hero, not something I found later in life. Like,
sure.
I was 10 years old, I'd run around in the backyard and pretend I was Captain Kirk. So.
That's sort of how it was for me.
Which is what I'm still doing today.
Still doing it, yeah. My dad, you know, watched Star Trek when he was a kid, and so he always had it on for me, so I don't ever remember not knowing what Star Trek was. So.
Exactly.
It's always been there. But, anything big? Have you been to any conventions this year? Because it's the 50th anniversary, or...
Other than, you know, I was at Comic-Con, the other one across the border where, the year Shatner was there, but I couldn't get near him. Marina Sirenis was there. She was really nice. Counselor Troy, she took pictures with me and my son. She took a couple of different ones. She talked with us. It was
fantastic.
So we got a great experience with Marina Sirenis. You know, this was... Was it 1 year or 2 years ago? The one, the last two ones that just passed.
Yeah, and this November there's actually a new con that's going to have Larry Nemechek, J.J. Hertzler, Chase Masterson. It's going to be in Albany.
Nice. So I heard there was a big one. The big one just happened
in
New York.
Oh, yeah. All right. So, well, thank you so much for talking with you. Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah.
Have a good one.
I'll tune in for it.
I like the name Holly. My name is supposed to be Devin Lane, which is a porn star's name, so that's funny.
gonna follow in their footsteps?
I think if I was going to, I would have already.
You can always branch out.
Branch out, listen, yeah. If I was going to do it, I would have done it before I had a baby.
There you go.
And now I have a giant C-section scar, which is very unattractive. I know that it's exactly what guys want to see in porn, is a giant C-section.
Hell yeah.
I actually did get solicited once by James Dean, the porn star.
Really?
I didn't realize it was him till like 2 years later, but I did one time. I don't know where I was. I was like at a mall or something, and like, he was there, and I was like, oh. He's like, do you want to do porn? I was like, go away, creepy stranger. And then like a few years later, I was like, holy shit.
Exactly what you said, too.
I did, and like, holy shit, it was James Dean, and now I regret it. Oh, well.
Oh, wow.
Memories. My husband doesn't know that story.
Uh-oh. I better cut that part out.
No.
Well, I'm here with Holly. She is part of the group that does...
it's called Artful Gremlins.
Artful Gremlins. What do you do with them?
This is my second podcast. I am an aspiring voice actor, and I'm going to be voicing a couple of characters on their shows that they're writing.
Yep. So. Probably Men Seeking Dragon, which I write.
Men Seeking Dragon?
Yes, I came up with the name. It's like a bunch of like adventurers going on like crazy adventures, but it's going to be like Dungeons and Dragons, but like before they actually go on their adventures.
And you are?
I'm Brooke Heatley Palmer. My husband is the owner of Artful Gremlins, and I do the Necronomicon, and I also do all the artwork for the Artful Gremlins.
Excellent. So, Holly said she was a big fan of Star Trek.
I'm going to go take him for a walk because he's getting angry. Are you okay? Here, alone?
Holly said she was a big fan of Star Trek, so
yeah.
I wanted to just get her opinion on Star Trek. And when did you first start watching Star Trek?
It was a family time. You know, like, we didn't watch a lot of TV growing up. And if we did, we watched Star Trek or The Golden Girls or Murder, She Wrote. So Star Trek was like, my favorite out of all of those. Obviously, The Golden Girls are great, but Star Trek was very... It's a very prominent memory of me, for me.
So very standout. So was this the original series on reruns or the Next Generation?
I think that for Family Time, it was Next Generation. But if it was on, if it was on TV and I was like, oh, hey, can we watch Star Trek? Then it was probably reruns of the older series, the original series. I know I have seen it and I love it, but...
Have you done anything to celebrate Star Trek and the 50th anniversary?
Well, I bought the 50th stamps, and they're sitting on my bookcase with all my Star Trek books.
Oh, nice. So you've read, how many of the books have you read?
I haven't read any of them yet. I've got about 15, and I know there are so many more. I was actually at...
There are tons of Star Trek books. Do you have Before Dishonor and the Destiny trilogy?
I don't know.
Because I've only read a couple Star Trek books. Before Dishonor was one of them, and the Destiny trilogy. Mm-hmm. And they are probably...
I think I have Best Destiny. Excellent. It's like the first James Kirk voyage, right?
I'm sorry?
The Best Destiny, I think, is what it's called.
I'm not familiar with all the books. Books are a little bit on the fringe for me.
Mm.
But I have read some of them... several years ago. Those are the four books I read.
Oh, okay.
They were excellent. They all take place after Voyager's over.
Mm, okay. These, I think that Best Destiny was a James T. Kirk adventure, and I've got, I can't remember any of the names of them. But
if they're good, let me know. I mean, I would love to read more Star Trek books. Mm-hmm. if I know they're good.
Yeah.
And these I just kind of picked up on a whim, and they all happen to be really good.
Yeah.
I recommend those.
Yeah. Before. Well, I love to read anything. Well, maybe not anything, but
not 50 Shades of Grey, which you learned earlier on her show. Did you get to see Star Trek Beyond?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
It was so good.
I know. I believe it.
I think it's my favorite one since Star Trek VI, Undiscovered Country.
Yeah? See, my husband is in the Marine Corps, and he doesn't really care for science fiction or fantasy. And actually, the fact that he even likes Game of Thrones is a stretch. You know? It's kind of weird that he likes it. But
there's lots of boobs, so, I mean, kind of...
Yeah, maybe that's it.
And killing.
Marine.
And killing. So, I mean, like, you know. So, you've got killing and you've got lady parts.
But so, if we ever get a chance to rent a movie or go to the movies, it's always like a compromise.
Clash the Titans.
Right. So, sometimes he'll see something that I want to see, and sometimes I'll have to go see something he wants to see. But I actually finally got him into see a Marvel movie. I convinced him to come watch Deadpool, and he loved it. And it's opened him up to maybe possibly watching other Marvel movies. But
that's awesome. Although you're probably not going to get the nudity and as much swearing in other Marvel movies.
I know.
Got to wait for Deadpool 2.
Right. So
supposedly the next Wolverine movie will be rated R. Although I don't know if that'll save it, because the Wolverine standalone movies, as much as I love Wolverine, have not been very good.
No, I didn't they replace Hugh Jackman?
I think Hugh Jackman's going to do this last Wolverine movie, and then I think he's been recast.
Oh, gotcha. Well, I love...
He keeps flip-flopping. I've heard him say that he's going to stay with it. I've heard him say he's going to be done soon. So
right. I see things about them scouting new ones, and I'm like, interesting.
It's possible. Oh, I'm sorry you didn't get to see Star Trek Beyond yet.
I know.
Have you been to any other conventions for Star Trek? I mean,
this
probably
is not. My very first convention.
Your very first convention ever?
Yeah, yeah.
So how are you enjoying it?
So far, so good. I've been sitting here at the booth and walking around and talking to shop owners. And, you know, a lot of the booths have similar things. Toys, lots of plush.
Yeah.
There's a lot of plush here. And then, obviously, all the horror stuff, which I'm not into.
Yeah, I'm not super in the horror either.
No. Anything galactic, I really like.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I love that kind of stuff. Well, maybe we'll have to have you come on as a guest and maybe talk about your favorite episode or something.
I will have to try and retain the information, because it's so funny. I love to watch, Star Trek every day. It's on... If I'm home, I put BBC on, and I listen to Star Trek. And it's hard for me to listen. I tend to sit down and forget that I'm busy.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you ask me to recall something from an episode, I would have to really think about it. So,
that's cool.
Yeah. Maybe I'll read a couple of the books by between now and then.
Yeah.
And then we'll see
how it goes. Let us know how those were.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. Thank you so much for talking with me, Holly.
Thank you for talking to me.
I'm David.
I'm Pete.
Nice to meet you, Pete.
They call me the Grumpy Geek.
The Grumpy Geek. And you're part of the Geekverse?
I am part of the Geekverse. TheGeekverse.com.
That's awesome. So what tell us about what is the Geekverse?
Geekverse is a pop culture website. We do we cover anything geek. We do TV shows. We do video game releases. We'll have this week. We'll have an NHL 17 review come out. You know, they come out. We try to come out as quickly as the games come out, as quickly as the TV episodes. Each week, you know, we're getting back into TV season, so we'll have we'll have episode reviews of all the geeky TV and stuff like that. We also do it in written form. We have our website. And we have a YouTube channel, and just recently we launched iTunes and SoundCloud for audio stuff as well.
Fantastic, fantastic. And as we were walking by, you said you were the Trekkie of this group.
I am the Trekkie. I wish that I had encyclopedic knowledge of it all. I don't have that, but I've been I'm in my 50s, so I've been around Star Trek since I was a little kid. I remember growing up and absolutely believing by the year 2000 that
this stuff would be real.
That Starship Captain was going to be a job I could apply for.
I wish.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're 2016. It's still not quite there yet. It's
no, and
we even lost our shuttle program. So, I mean, we're actually stepping back.
Well, luckily, we've got companies like Virgin Galactic and SpaceX that are trying to make a move in that direction. So hopefully we'll see more of that. The fact that we were able to, like, lower an SUV-sized thing onto the planet of Mars, you know, sure, while spinning 25,000 miles an hour around the or 2,500 miles an hour in orbit around the thing is a real...
amazing feat.
Yeah, it's an amazing feat. So, you know, we're making strides.
We're getting there. Hopefully, before we pass.
I think I'm closer than you are.
So, you grew up watching Star Trek. This is the 50th anniversary. Anything stood out to you this year for the 50th anniversary, or...?
Well, let me ask you a question. Well, you know, we're two Trek guys talking together. I was disappointed with the whole... I think Paramount kind of blew it. I think it could have been a bigger event for everybody. You know what I mean?
For like, Beyond?
Yeah. Well, for the whole 50th anniversary thing, like they just delayed Star Trek Discovery on CBS,
yeah.
And you know, like they had that big Star Trek Mission New York that was kind of a big celebration of that. And I heard
it was a small turnout.
Yeah, I mean, it just, and I think it was partially because like I didn't even know. I'm a guy who follows it. I'm a guy who owns a pop culture website. And I didn't really know about it, you know. I think the hype wasn't there. This wasn't. I will correct myself. I don't think this, but there's another blogger out at IO9 who was very frank in saying that they should have released Star Trek Beyond in conjunction with the 50th anniversary at the at that event. They should have went hand in hand.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Fisticuffs way over in the far corner by the emergency exit.
I feel like
Deadpool says he's
going to
do Broadway, so maybe you want to stop by and see him.
But yeah, I mean, I just had Larry Nemechek on my show last night, and he was kind of upset by that article because he's like, there's been more Trek this year than there's ever been. With all the conventions happening, because I mean, usually it's just Star Trek Las Vegas,
right?
But I mean, there's one in Chicago that was like last weekend, I think, and then there was New Vision New York, which was like a weekend before that. So I mean, there's a lot more conventions this year, but there's not a lot
of information coming out of them.
No,
one of the best things about these conventions is you go to them, and you know part of the price of your ticket is that you get an inside scoop or something like that, and it just, you know, they don't know who the character is, they haven't cast it yet, you know, the trailer for Discovery was it, you know, I thought it looked like fan art, you know? Like, I didn't think it was all that good. And I think a lot of fan art is better than what we saw there.
Yeah, some of the fan art is absolutely stunning. I really hope that, you know, I wasn't surprised by the pushback of the new show, Star Trek Discovery. I was more just disappointed.
Right.
Because, you know, there's not been any news. There's not been any leaks. There's been no casting announcements. So I was like, well, I'm not surprised. There should be at least something if it was going to come soon.
Yeah.
So,
you know,
and Paramount did drop the ball, I believe, with Star Trek Beyond, because we didn't get a trailer until, like, 28 days before the movie came out.
Right.
28 days.
And I want to be excited about Discovery. I'm not. I mean, I wrote a big piece about it on our site. I'm irritated that they're making it only available on CBS All Access. This is a property that has a huge fan base, and you know, now you're going to tell us we have to pay $4.99. Oh, by the way, if you don't want ads, you pay $9.99 a month for this. You know, like, it's not the place that Star Trek is going to be. I know that they're using a big name property to try to pull people into that, but how many of these subscription services are we going to be, you know, need
every,
to buy to
every channel? Soon,
right?
I mean, that's kind of what's being pushed. Unfortunately, I wish it wasn't that way, but I mean, they're using Star Trek in the way they've always used Star Trek with Voyager. They launched UPN with Voyager. Now they're trying to launch online,
right?
You know, streaming service with Discovery. And I kind of don't mind it being on a streaming service, because as long as they push boundaries, as long as they do like you know, more violence being looking more real, or maybe, you know, sexual nudity showing up, you know, pushing the bounds. I mean,
right.
I'm not saying every episode needs to be that, because Star Trek isn't about that. But I'm just saying, if you're putting it on the service and making us pay for it, it better be something that's
worth paying for.
That's not, you know, primetime television. You
right.
know, they should push the boundaries in some way.
And one of the things, I guess, that's frustrating to me is that, if you're going to put it on pay, you know, when you pay for HBO, you get commercial-free TV.
Yeah.
Right? And if you're going to, for $4.99 a month, and we're going to have to watch ads in the middle of everything as well, it's just, you know, it's irritating. It's like, put it up there, make it, that's you're replacing the ad revenue with the monthly subscription
that's
rate
what
for
I
everything.
It was.
Me
what,
too.
That's what they originally pitched it as.
Yeah, me
I,
too.
I believe,
so,
this is disappointing. But can tell us your website and information?
Yeah, we're at thegeekiverse.com, and you can get to any of our other things there. We have a YouTube channel that's got, you know, we've got over 200 videos up there, in the neighborhood of 25,000 views now.
Wow.
So,
fantastic.
Yeah, we're doing some really good stuff about some really good stuff.
And
so,
you're all local to Buffalo?
Every one of us is from Buffalo.
That's awesome.
And, you know, we're looking forward to this year growing even more. We've got some things that we're going to try to do some different stuff and make more of we're at Buffalo Comic Con. This is our second con appearance. And we're looking to grow that as well, maybe even come outside of the Buffalo area and do some things, you know, within the 2 to 3 hour ring, maybe get ourselves out to Rochester and Syracuse, and maybe
Toronto.
Get ourselves to Toronto might be a little bit pricey, you know, because it's a big con, so we'll have to look at that. But there's some events in Pittsburgh, there's some events in Cleveland and stuff like that. We're gonna look at it all and see if we can't start to make a presence for ourselves outside of Buffalo as well.
That would be fantastic. Well, thank you so much for talking.
Oh, no, Dave, thanks very much for having me.
You're welcome. And this will be all in one big collection show with all the other people I've talked with.
Fantastic.
So, I'm here with...
Devin.
Hi, Devin.
Hi, how are you?
She's rocking a awesome, like...
Spock. Female Spock.
Female Spock, but it's like a nice one-piece dress?
Yes.
Awesome looking.
Thank you.
I'll probably put this up on the Facebook page.
Sounds good.
So, you agreed to talk to me. I wanted to hear what your first Star Trek experience was.
My first Star Trek experience was probably when I was 4 or 5. My dad and I used to watch the reruns on TV, you know, AMC or whatever had them on. We would sit and watch them late at night. So, that's what we used to do. I grew up watching Star Trek.
That's awesome. Do you have a favorite series or show?
Definitely the original. I mean, Next Gen was pretty good, but I just didn't get into it as much as the original.
Really? So, like, did you start with the original series reruns?
Yes, we did. That's what my dad loved. He loved the character building between Kirk and Spock and Bones. Bones was his favorite. He's a doctor, so.
Oh, yeah, that's a doctor? Yeah, that's really awesome. Does he have the same bedside manner as Bones?
No. He loves his bedside manner, but he, you know, you could get fired for having Bones' bedside manner, so.
Well, what about Voyager? Did you like Robert Picardo's portrayal? He seemed like he was the holographic version of Bones.
Right. I mean, I don't know. You just can't get rid of it the way they built the original series. It's just like
you can't. I mean, the way the trio is, you can't beat that. But as far as for a single individual performance, I love Robert Picardo as the Doctor.
Yeah.
Did you see the new movie?
I love the way they cast the new series. I think they did such a great job casting for, you know, all the characters are spot on almost to their original counterparts. So I think it's brilliant. So I love it.
When it's been the 50th anniversary of Star Trek, what has Star Trek meant to you in your life?
Star Trek to me has meant, like, I've learned how to build friendships, looking for how they built their team on the Enterprise. That's how I look for to build my group of friends. I want a Bones. I want a Spock in my group, you know? So that's what
You're
I
the
like.
Spock.
I'm the Spock. Not usually, but.
You look for other Spocks and Kirks.
Right.
That's really awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the
time. It was a pleasure talking with you. Nice meeting a fellow Trekkie.
Yes.
Thank you all for listening. All my music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or follow them on Twitter at warp11. You can find us at synthaholics.com. You can email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at synthaholicduo. If you'd like to follow us individually, you can follow me at David_J_Duncan.
You can follow me, Aaron O'Brien, at Blackbird2004. Faith, where can they find you?
You can find me at Faith Hertzberg.
And please subscribe to us. We are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. And if you have a chance, please rate and review so we can improve. And any feedback is welcome. And so we can make the show even better for you.
Live long and prosper, guys.
At the stars we did gaze. The next morning he left stinking of gin. Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink. And we'll cry till we laugh. And we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend.